Okay, so in Colombia, I have two balloon messages and three balloon messages. And what we do is we hand out balloons to mischievous members of the congregation. And then when I see someone falling asleep, I tell them to pop the balloon. Now, we're not going to do that here because we have some senior people here, and I don't want to cause a heart attack. I write the presentation and read it because the wording's very important to me, that I want it to be exact as opposed to just getting up here and ad-libbing. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to start the presentation today by using a few passages to try to teach you a little bit about our ministry in Colombia. Not an exposition of Scripture, but a real-life application. I will be watching Pastor Mike's face closely during the presentation, and based on how red his face turns, we will know how badly I pulled these verses out of their context and misapplied them. I hope that I have not. The first passage is Galatians 6:6-10. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Alejandra and I had what I would describe as a very normal year in Colombia, with a couple of very difficult months. But it was a year of not giving up and persisting in the daily living out of the gospel. I think this is exactly what we're all called by God to do. God works through the everyday events in our lives not only to sanctify us, but to use our lives to be salt and light to the people around us. At times it can be slow and uneventful. But God is always working out fruit in our lives and for his ministry. From one day to the next, we cannot see the growth of an apple on a tree. But in just a short season, we do see that it has been growing little by little each day. That would be a perfect picture of our past year in Colombia. The fruit grew unnoticed day by day until we looked back over the entire year and saw what God had accomplished. Again, it was a year in which his first work was sanctifying Alejandra and I. The mission is secondary for God, because God does not need us to accomplish his work in Colombia. It is only by his grace that he has chosen to sanctify Alejandra and I by using the mission work as a tool to accomplish his work in us. There were several months in which we grew weary, but God renewed and encouraged us in time. And I am happy to say he did this through the commitment our home team here has to the centrality of the gospel. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." When we were on the plane down to Colombia the very first year, we were seated very close to another missionary. He noticed that I was reading a Christian book, and when we exited the plane, he told me about a successful mission he was on where over 100 people came forward to the altar call. My thoughts were, well, then what? What happened after the altar call? Even before Alejandra and I set foot on the mission field for the very first day, with no experience in missions, we did not see an altar call as our goal. Alejandra and I have a completely different view of what we are called by God to do in the Great Commission. We are called foremost to make disciples. Making disciples is a huge investment of our lives into the people's lives. The gospel is about investing love, and it is a long process. The gospel is never given in a void. It is given in love. You invest your life into another person's life and live the gospel before their eyes as an example to them. You love them and live the gospel in the way in which you interact with them, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit that God has brought forth in your life for his glory. This is a process that is hard, and it requires that the fruit of the Spirit is worked out in all areas of our lives. We had an incident this year where one of our elders, Alfredo, was backsliding a little bit. And Pastor Fry's first response was that perhaps Alfredo should step away from his eldership position for a time. And my initial reaction was to agree with Pastor Fry. But after a day of thinking it through, I decided that this was the easy solution, to get rid of the problem. I don't think this is what we are called to do. And if we had asked Alfredo to step down for a period, I think it would have caused too much damage. He is young in his Christian faith. He needed the nurturing path, or else he might just walk away from the situation also. He then would have taken the easy path and just got rid of the problem. What came to my mind was the number of times we felt like giving up on Pastor Fry. But we did not, and we pushed through. And now Pastor Fry wanted to give up on Alfredo. So Alejandra and I had to set an example with Alfredo that we had already done with Pastor Fry many times, so that Pastor Fry could learn to take the hard road. Galatians 2:1-2 tells us, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So instead of asking him to temporarily step off the elders' board, which I am not saying there are not times when this would be appropriate, but in this case, it was better if my wife and I began a couple's Bible study with Alfredo and his wife on Wednesday nights, which initially we were a little scared to approach Alfredo about doing this, what his reaction might be to us questioning his leadership in his home. But God had softened his heart, and Alfredo said it was God's hand moving in his life, and he saw where he needed it. If we had asked him to step down from being an elder, the backsliding would have gotten worse. But instead, our bond with Alfredo and Marcella was strengthened. Alfredo recognized where he was backsliding and has made adjustments to improve his marriage and his household. By restoring him with a spirit of gentleness, God was glorified. And yes, it was the harder path, but it is a path as Christians we are called to do. Pastor Fry also recognized that we had never given up on him and that he should do the same with his sheep. Galatians 5:22-23 tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." We cannot learn any of the fruit of the Spirit without being involved in a church family. They are all relational. Can we love without people to love? Can we have a true Christian joy outside of our church family? Can we learn patience without difficult brothers and sisters? God gives us a church family to love one another and to strengthen one another's faith. A healthy, functioning church family is one of the greatest resources we have as a child of God. The Christian walk is clearly difficult, and God often uses suffering to bring about these fruits. This requires that we be part of a loving family of fellow pilgrims. This truth I have tried to emphasize over and over in the churches in Colombia. The truth that we need to make use of the great resource a church family can be in our Christian walks. Praying for one another, loving one another, encouraging one another, and building one another up in Christ. James 1:22 tells us, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Many times our desire as a church is to reach a point without problems, still waters on our little pond. But God likes to drop rocks down and create ripples in order that we can experientially apply the truths of the gospel. God is not concerned with still waters in his church. He is concerned with growth and maturity in our Christian walks. He is concerned with us becoming Christ-like. He is concerned with us applying the truths of the word in our lives to the best of our ability and praying for his grace and his spirit to make them effectual. We have emphasized to Pastor Fry and Pastor Alex the continual need to direct and guide their sheep, to live out the gospel in their lives, and for them to set the example to the people by themselves being doers of the word and not hearers only. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you have been doing." As I mentioned before, Alejandra and I had a couple of very difficult months. Pastor Fry also had a period of going through a difficult few months, as well as our elder Alfredo. We have had many ups and downs and some very difficult moments in the past 6 years with Pastor Fry, but we have never given up on him, and we never will. We are sent as missionaries to encourage and build up local men to be leaders in proclaiming the truth of God's word in a dark city. For us, a big part of a missionary's job description is encouraging and building up the people that we work with. Again, building up someone involves daily sacrifice and love, many times doing something that we're not overly excited to do. But as a response to Christ's love for us, we love. And it is very easy to see God himself doing this exact work in each of our lives. God encourages and builds us up, and we must be imitators of God. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children." Lamentations 3:22 and 23. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I have had many days on the mission field in which my love for the Lord is not steadfast at all. I have had days when I was disappointed in God, angry at God, tired with God's plan for my life. But his love for me has remained steadfast. His mercies never come to an end, even as I fail him over and over. In May, for the first time in my life, I went through a short period of depression, and Alejandra and I were both experiencing a lot of spiritual attacks. It was for a short time, but felt very long when we were in it. When we came through this difficult time and saw the incredible love and provision that God had for us, we understood it to be necessary. And in it, Jesus' love was steadfast. What a beautiful thing to have a Savior whose mercies never end, a Savior who is great in his faithfulness. Matthew 6:31 and 33 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." We continue to work with Pastor Alex in Chinchina. He is truly a remarkable young man who absolutely does seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And over and over, Alejandra and I have seen how God has blessed him with the things that he needs in order to minister to his people. Gospel Life Church in Kaiser was kind enough to provide Pastor Alex with a new printer and computer camera for his church. Pastor Alex had expressed to us his desire to one day have a nice little library of Christian books. So I spoke with the team in the United States, and we were able to purchase a library for Pastor Alex also. He was able to get about 30 new books, and we built a new bookshelf for him too. He said he was up until 2 a.m. the first night that he got the books because he was so excited. He was like a kid on Christmas morning when he opened the box full of books. And the amazing thing is these books will not just sit on his new bookshelf and look nice. He will spend many hours in study because he loves to study the Word of God. He built a new area to preach with a live internet feed. His church continues to grow, and he has plans to put on an addition to the house, which should seat about 35 more people. He currently is preaching to about 30 people in the living room of his house. This is a short video of what the new church will look like. It will be completed when we return in November. There's a thing there where you can click it to, like, click play on the video thing. Yeah. Pastor Alex designed it himself, and it's an addition that'll come off the side of the living room of their house. And it's currently under construction. He's been sending us photos every day. We have completed many studies with Pastor Alex, and he is doing very well. He has an insatiable appetite for learning, and it is a pleasure for Alejandra and I to work with him. He truly renews and strengthens us because he is such a good student. For 2 years now, we have had a Tuesday night. For two years now, we have had a Tuesday night study at our apartment with Pastor Fry, Pastor Alex, Elder Juan Diego, Elder Alfredo, and several other young men who wanted to attend, to be included. We have a fellowship dinner and then study. Last year, we worked through The Priority of Jesus Christ by Tom Wells with our pastors here, two Skype classes with Charles Letter, and one with Blake White on New Covenant Theology. This year, we had a total of 10 classes with Pastor Jeff Volker on biblical law. It may look like he is sleeping in the picture, but actually he is deep in thought on how to answer one of the men's questions. These classes went very well. I outlined his videos and Alejandro translated it, and we spent an hour going through the outline each week, then 1.5 hours with Pastor Jeff, going through the information a second time. The men were very happy with the Tuesday night studies, and they are now pressing me to see if I can get a Skype call with D.A. Carson. I wrote to D.A. Carson, but there's been no response yet. After completing the classes with Jeff, we began to work on a new web page with the men. I had the idea several years back, but everything came together in God's timing to begin the project this year. I wanted to do something that all the men could contribute to and to be a part of. A page made by Colombians for Spanish-speaking people. And one aspect of the page is a series of videos. Pastor Alex and Elder Juan Diego began by working through Blake White's book, What is New Covenant Theology? An Introduction, chapter by chapter. They run around 40 minutes long, and they discuss the theme of each chapter. Thoroughly explaining each chapter and having a discussion on it in the videos. They have completed the series on Blake White's book and are currently working through The Priority of Jesus Christ by Tom Wells. Pastor Fry contributes by doing short studies on each of John Piper's The 50 Reasons That Jesus Came to Die. Pastor Fry's wife is doing audio recordings of Pilgrim's Progress and soon will be recording Sunday school lessons for the kids. Alejandra is also doing audio recordings of the first book that we teach, How to Be Sure to Spend Eternity with God by Erwin Lutzer. And she's already been able to use that to send it to people for them to be able to listen to the book. We look at this as a long-term project that we can continually add to in the coming years. A project that can bring people together through working on a common goal. There are limited good resources in Spanish, and it is something that can be used by God long after we are gone to bring truth and light into someone's heart via these instructional videos and readings. In December, we have each elder preach a message at the church so that Pastor Fry can have a little extra free time in the holiday season. I did my message on the angels and the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. We had our annual Christmas party again this year and now rent a restaurant directly across from the church and do a potluck. It is a more comfortable location and easy to set up because it is so close to the church. The ladies from Pastor Mike's church put together gift bags for the kids again this year, and the kids were very happy with their presents. The bags included a copy of Pilgrim Progress for each child, and it worked out really well as Elder Juan Diego and his wife Angelica had been teaching the Sunday school kids this book. We had enough extra gift bags that we were able to take a few to the kids in Pastor Alex's church in Chinchina also. Here are a few pictures of the Christmas party. As I've said before, a potluck dinner is a very different thing culturally for the Colombian churches. I preached on the first gospel in Genesis 3 for the party, and it went very well. We did our white elephant gift exchange, which the Colombians love. It has grown to be a tradition in our church for the Christmas party each year. At the end of the party, we took a group photo of the church. We are encouraged to see how God continues to grow the love between members of our church family year by year. The members are becoming more active in doing outside activities together. We all went to see the Avengers movie because it was the first time Pastor Alex's parents were ever to a movie, and the second time for my mother-in-law. The charismatic churches preach that it is a sin to step foot in a movie theater, which for many movies this would be hard to argue against. Two of the members of our church got married, and Pastor Fry officiated the wedding. Marcelio and Natalie. Mauricio attends our Tuesday night's men's studies. We continue to be involved in Claudia's ministry to the homeless. Three times a year, she has an event where people volunteer to help give showers, haircuts, and a new set of used clothes to the people. Elder Juan Diego and I helped out, and they are a very entertaining group of people to watch. We had a new couple who had moved to Manizales from Barranca. Olga and Jacob began attending our church this past fall. We met their pastor when he was in Manizales visiting them, and he invited Alejandra and I to come to preach in his church in March. So we organized a conference to be held in March, with me being the only speaker. The city is located about 400 kilometers to the east from Manizales, and it is extremely hot. Nobody would live there except for the fact that there is a huge oil refinery located there, which is central to the city. Almost everyone works for this company or in a service industry for the workers of this company. This was the view at night from our hotel room that we stayed in. We were able to present two messages on Friday, four messages on Saturday, and two messages on Sunday. We did not waste the opportunity to present the gospel simply and clearly with very Christ-centered messages. I preached on what is Christianity, the gospel in the garden, the full armor of God, the Lord's Supper, the God of all comfort, and the gospel saves and the gospel sanctifies. And lastly, the church, a Christian's great resource. It was very well received, but was also very difficult. Many outside things went wrong with our travel, with our health, and many other things. But I think it is very important to accept that when you are preaching the gospel with clarity and simplicity, that there will be resistance. The Apostle Paul had many trials and did not complain, but was thankful for the opportunity to preach the word. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." We were exhausted by Sunday night, but we were incredibly grateful for the opportunity. Here are a few more pictures of the trip. This is the dock that we had breakfast with the pastor the very first day. And obviously, you have fish soup for breakfast. And that is the petroleum Jesus that guards the oil refinery. Here, they like to go to the mall at nighttime because, like I said, it's incredibly hot. And so they go to the mall to steal air, so to get free air conditioning. There's what is called, it's like the Colombian Grand Canyon in that area of Colombia. We'd never been to that area before. They sell ants for eating in Santander, and they are actually pretty expensive. This man is an ant salesman, and you're looking at probably 3 million pesos in ants in that suitcase. A little bag with about 15 ants costs about $3 US. So he's a rich ant salesman. They're roasted with spices, Mike. As a result of the conference, I picked up a new student. Alonzo and his wife came to Manizales, so we invited them for dinner. Elder Juan Diego and his wife Angelica joined us also. So I began a study with Alonzo via Skype in May. And during the very first class, he told me that he normally spends 3 hours a day looking at pornography, but was trying hard to do better. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but how long do you think that I spent talking to him about this problem? Exactly 0 seconds. Alonzo is not saved. Of course there is bad fruit in his life. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. As a missionary, I am not going to spend time addressing a specific sin in an unsaved person's life. I am going to take them to the gospel. Pray that God saves them and let God remove the idols from his life. What if I did counsel Alonzo on this problem? And in his own willpower, he began to do better. Is that going to help him to see that he is a totally depraved sinner without hope and without the ability to save himself? That his greatest need is the cross of Jesus Christ? If Alonzo was saved, then yes, Alonzo should go to his pastor and the elders of his church and ask for prayer, help, and accountability. But he is not saved. He is dead in his trespasses and sins. My job is to tell him about the one that can atone for his sins, regenerate his heart, and give him a desire to be faithful to his marriage covenant. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." It would be almost impossible for me to take that sin out of his life, but Jesus can. I do what I am able to do, which is point Alonzo to his need for Jesus and the forgiveness of sins by way of the cross. Jesus does what only he can do, redeems, justifies, and then patiently works through the Holy Spirit to remove every idol of our lives in his way and in his timing. I only give you this example to help you to understand Alejandra and I's mindset when it comes to missions. The gospel is first and foremost in our approach to every situation. Alejandra and I cannot save anyone, but we can glorify God in proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then, if he is willing, he will combine the word we preach with his spirit to bring about new life. If you go to the mission field expecting your wisdom and your words to save people, you will have complete failure. If you go to the mission field to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will have 100% success. If you go into the mission field to try to counsel and sanctify a dead sinner, what point is there in that? In April, we celebrated the 5th anniversary of our church, again renting out the restaurant across the street and having a potluck. I preached on Romans 12 the entire chapter, and God graciously blessed the message. Alejandra began a third women's Bible study group this year on Wednesday nights in Chinchina. This is the town where Pastor Alex's church is located. She began by doing a Legionnaire study on biblical contentment. She also completed this study with her two groups in Manizales, as well as a study on the Apostle Paul by Chuck Swindoll, and now she is currently teaching through Because He Loves Me by Elsie Fitzpatrick. For Christmas, she had the two women's groups together in Pastor Fry's house for a viewing of Charlie Brown's Christmas, because Linus does such a good job at the end of giving the gospel. Alejandra would like to take a moment to speak to you about some of the things she learned in this past year. Do I need to transfer this to her then? Or she can just use that. Okay.
Can you hear me? Hello. Can you hear me?
is it?
Louder.
Yeah. Louder?
Yeah. Very good.
So, good morning. Now, can you hear me? Good morning, brothers and sisters. I want to talk to you about the glory of the gospel. In Colombia, many people think that being a Christian means never missing church or being born in a Christian family. Being a Christian means reading their Bible daily, living a good moral life, and following a set of rules. They are trying to save themselves through their good works. They think that being a Christian is something that can be done in their own willpower. There are many people in churches today who think that they're Christians because they act Christian. This reality is not just found in the charismatic movement or churches in Colombia. This reality is common in churches all around the world. True Christianity is a miracle that we contribute nothing to. We are fallen, sinful creatures who by nature are incapable of saving ourselves and are enmity with our Creator because of our sin. Romans 3:10-11 says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God." Salvation is a miracle. Salvation is a work that only God can do. We cannot become Christians in our own willpower. God must intervene in our darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." And after this miracle occurs in our lives, it is remarkable how quickly we can take it for granted. We can lose the joy of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We can forget about the love that God has placed upon us. Many Christians never mature enough to understand our true position in Christ and the blessings we have because of this. We become Christianized. What do I mean by that? We live in a certain way that makes us calm and secure, but in reality, numb to the true glory of the gospel. Amen. Yes, we're saved. So we're not working for our salvation. But do we think that doing all these Christian activities is what the Christian life is all about? Many Christians divide themselves. They have their Christian life, but in the normal daily activities, there is no recognition that the gospel is sustaining them moment by moment. There is no such thing as my Christian life in my normal life. We get complacent in our salvation and feel like all that remains is to point others to Christ. We lose the joy of being saved, of having Christ, of being forgiven and adopted children of God. We have to wake up from our numbness. The Christian has experienced a miracle that has made him a new creature with a new nature and a new heart. Our infinite debt has been paid by Christ on the cross. We must learn to meditate on who we are in Christ and the love that God sets upon us every moment of our lives. The gospel is not just for unbelievers. The gospel is for us.
Amen.
And it is necessary that we meditate on it every day, every day. I have many trials in Colombia, but through my trials, I have found joy in the gospel of Christ. In my strength, I find my strength in the gospel. I have an immovable foundation in the gospel. When things are not going as planned in your life, Do you seek comfort first in the gospel? Is God's eternal love sustaining you? Is God's love for his people that placed Christ on the cross? It is God's love that sanctifies us and conforms us to the image of his Son. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." During my most difficult month in the ministry this past year, the thing that got me through it was knowing that everything God allows in my life is because he loves me. And everything he allows is done in love for my good. We must meditate on the greatness of the gospel that intervened in our need. God the Father has predestined us in love for sonship. Christ the Son has redeemed us in love by his blood. The Holy Spirit in love is a guarantee of our inheritance. Believing and understanding who we already are because of his work on the cross daily is what must sustain us. Living according to our new identity, meditating on what is already true and real in the gospel. Let us not live like we're asleep. Let's enjoy the reality that we are eternally loved and that God in his infinite love has saved us from himself and for himself. He has given us eternal life. He has justified us, regenerated us, and will soon glorify us. Joy comes in knowing God, and this is eternal life. John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent."
Alejandra continues to work on translating good materials into Spanish. This is a very time-consuming process, but very important for our work in Manizales and Chinchina. But she does get to work in her pajamas. So. In June, I preached four messages. I preached four Sundays through the book of Judges. The year before, I had taken four Sundays to preach through Jonah. And next year, I plan on going through the book of Daniel with the church in Manizales. The people were very happy with the messages, with many saying they did not really understand too much about the book before, but now had a good grasp of its content. It was the hardest series of messages I've done so far. We continue to have the men's breakfast at each of the elders' houses. We share a meal and then a short devotional, and then each man prays. This has been a wonderful blessing to see the men of our churches come together in prayer. In closing, I want to talk about a few more verses. Romans 12:6 and 7. "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching." Before I was a missionary, I went to cooking school in New York. I owned a bakery in Delaware for 16 years. I recognize that God has given me the skill to be able to cook and to bake. A big part of my work in Colombia is creating an environment for people to be able to learn and to study without worrying about anything else. Is that how you would define missions work? I did not know what my role would be when I got to Colombia, but I never really thought about God using my prior experience to serve the people in Colombia. Am I more important than that? Am I too prideful to think that I should be doing something more important than fetching coffee for the men? Galatians 5:13 and 14 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The gospel in practice is different from just reading that verse. I spent my life cooking and baking, and now I am called to use that skill that God gave me to serve the people in Colombia, to create an environment where the men can study and grow in the Word of God, so that God can use them to glorify His name in Colombia. I cannot deny that there are times in which this has been difficult. We spent 2 years studying every Wednesday night with Elder Alfredo, his wife Marcella, his daughter Donna, and Marcella's father. 2 years of hours of prep work, serving the food, cleaning up the dishes, making and serving coffee, in a kitchen with about 2 feet of counter space, a tiny sink, and no space for anything. With many times in which the daughter ate huge amounts of food and then promptly fell asleep on her mother's shoulder as soon as the Bible study began. When we finally completed all the studies with this family, and about 6 months later, 6 months had gone by, we were meeting with Elder Alfredo, and he mentioned how he really missed the Wednesday night studies with his family at our house. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, I bet you do miss having someone spend 4 hours cooking, setting the table, serving the food, cleaning the dishes, serving the coffee and dessert while you guys all sit there, while your daughter's getting ready for her Bible time study nap. Don't hold your breath, Alfredo. And then one day I came across this verse in 1 Peter 4:9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I thought, that sure is me. Grumbling about the service and good works that God prepared in advance for me to do. Grumbling about showing hospitality to my brothers in Christ with the resources and the skills that God graciously provided for me. Each one of these pictures represents a huge amount of work in a tiny, miserable kitchen. But each one of these pictures also represents God's provision for us to be able to study His Word in comfort. Each one of these pictures represents fellowship in the body of Christ. Each one of these pictures represents the work that I have been called by my Lord to do. Each one of these pictures represents an opportunity provided by God to grow in love for one another in our church family. Each one of these pictures is only possible because of God opening your hearts to give to our work in Colombia. Each one of these pictures is an opportunity for me to be obedient to the law of Christ, to love one another as Jesus Himself set the example for all of us to do. Each one of these pictures is something that I should be thankful for God giving me the health and ability to serve my brothers in Christ. Lastly, as a team, we have decided it has come time for us to step off the mission field in order to give the two churches God used us to plant time to begin to mature and to grow. Alejandra and I will be returning to Colombia basically at the beginning of November this year, and then staying until May or June of next year. We will then return to the United States full time. We will continue to be involved in the churches in Colombia for the rest of our lives. This is just a new part of the ministry. Much of what we do can now be done via the internet. Both Alejandra and I are both teaching people online via Skype. Alejandra can continue to translate materials and to do her women's Bible study groups online. Please pray for God's continued guidance as we enter a new phase of our work in Colombia. June of 2020 will be 7 years for us in this part of the ministry. We began the ministry in 2007 and got to spend 7 years on the ground in Colombia from 2013 until 2020. We know God has many wonderful plans for his work in Colombia and look forward to seeing what he has in store for the coming years. As always, it is you guys who have made this possible through your prayers, your love, and your support for Alejandra and I. We are truly grateful for the confidence that you have placed in us. This is a bonus picture. The men have completed their penance of sitting on a hard bench for 5 years of Bible study. So we had custom cushions made to soften the experience, which actually Steve Decker said was not a good idea. They are grateful for having had made it through this trial. I want to close with one last verse that Alejandra and I use over and over in Colombia, a verse that has become very dear to our hearts. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Amen.